today as we come to the table.
One little girl coming back from Sunday school told her mom they'd learned about Enoch and about him being translated and raptured, if you will. And her mom said, well, tell me about it. She said, well, mom, she said, Enoch walked so closely with God that one day God simply says, you know what, Enoch, why don't you just come on with me? You're a lot closer to my home than yours. Guys, that is a picture of where we need to be as believers. We need to be walking so close to the Lord that we're a lot closer to his place than what the world has to offer down here. And the challenging question for us would be is, where are we walking? Are we closer to our earthly home, or are we closer to our heavenly home? Now, I'm not talking about health-wise or age-wise. I'm talking about our walk with God.
For those that have children, we know what it's like to teach them to walk close to us. The more dangerous our surroundings are, the closer we teach them to walk. The further they wander, the more likely they are to get lost or hurt in some way. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches us that a man named Enoch walked so close to God that he just stayed with him forever. Do you know of any better place to be than right by God's side? How close are you walking to your Heavenly Father today? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis chapter 5 as he continues his message, The Genealogical Gospel.
Remember, God said, I'm going to pour out my wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. Well, the angels go in and say, look, Lot, we got to get you out of here. And they said something very interesting. They said, we can do nothing until we get you out. And remember, they wanted to stay so bad, he had to grab their hand and yank them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But God waited until the righteous were removed from Sodom and Gomorrah before he poured out his wrath. And what is the last one? Well, the Bible says in Revelation that the great tribulation will come in the last days. And that before the great tribulation will happen this event that we refer to in the church of as the rapture and the rapture of the church. I believe Enoch is a picture of the church being taken out. And again, that'll unfold more as we go farther along. But what makes this picture even more intriguing is that God took Enoch, notice this, from the earth before he poured out his wrath, but preserved Noah and his descendants, who were the Jews, on the earth during the wrath. Now, again, the Jews weren't officially Jews yet, but from Noah's line came the Shemites, which we call today what? The Semites. And the Semites are what we call today the Jews. You've heard the term anti-Semitism. It comes from Semite or Shemite. They are the Semites. The point being this, Noah's descendants being the Jews preserved on the earth. How do we see that picture? Well, remember, Enoch was taken off of the earth. Noah stayed on the earth and was preserved from the wrath while on the boat. Why is this an intriguing picture of the rapture? Because the Bible tells us that when the church is raptured out, even as Enoch was taken off the earth and off of the world, the Bible says at the same time, God is going to pour his spirit out on the Jewish nation, and there are going to be many Jews that are going to be saved, and they're going to flee down to Petra, which is down in the wilderness. And during that 3.5-year period that God pours out his wrath and tribulation on the earth, the Bible says God will supernaturally protect the Jews in Petra. And so we have a beautiful picture of Petra in relation to the ark and those in that line being preserved on the earth, and a beautiful picture of Enoch and the church today being taken and preserved off of the earth. And so, again, it's interesting, when you look at the rapture here in Genesis chapter 5, there are some that claim that the rapture is a new teaching that has only recently surfaced in the church in recent years. Well, you can't get much older than Genesis 5. And you can't get much older than the first people on the earth. No, this is no new teaching. The rapture has been around almost since creation. And God again giving us a picture of that in Enoch and then fulfilling it again in the last days. Now, in addition, we see not only the picture of the rapture here, but we see very clearly that Paul and the early church also believed in the rapture and taught it. Paul was constantly looking for the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it speaks of the trumpet blast, And here's a very important difference in the rapture and the second coming. It says that when the trumpet sound is given there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the church, the believers, will go up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's very different than the second coming, because the Bible says in the second coming that we will come down with the Lord to the earth. One is going up to meet the Lord in the air. The other is coming down with Jesus Christ as an army with him, and the Lord will set foot on the earth. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. Enoch himself is the one that makes this comment. Jude tells us that Enoch said, "Behold, the Lord comes with," notice, "with 10,000s of his saints," showing we're already with him. This would be after the rapture. "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all," and that's in reference to the second coming. So again, notice the differences here, and there are many differences. We can't cover them all today. But Paul, as well as in other writings, speaks of the Lord's sudden and unexpected return at any time, when they obviously knew that the Antichrist had to come first. Now, this is important. The Lord himself said, be watching. Be ready. You don't know the day or the hour. Be prepared. And so we're always, as believers, to be watching and be ready. Paul said the same thing. The Lord could return at any time. With the sound of the trumpet, we're going to go up. And he says, don't let anyone deceive you that it's already happened. He says, it hasn't already happened. Be ready. Now, if they knew that the Antichrist had to come on the scene and the Antichrist had to do all these things before the rapture, what would they have been saying? They would have been saying, watch for the Antichrist. And when the Antichrist shows up on the scene, get ready. The rapture is sometime after that. They didn't say that. They said, watch for not the Antichrist. Who are we to be watching for? Jesus Christ. And so it all depends on where your focus is. If you're believing that the rapture is something that's not going to take place or takes place later, you're not looking for Jesus Christ. You're looking for the Antichrist. And the Bible says we need to always be watching for the Lord. So this is not a new teaching. It's something that's been around for quite some time. Now, it's also interesting, as this picture begins to unfold of the rapture here in Genesis 5, that Jared was born in his father's 65th birthday. Look at verse 15. It says, Mahaliel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Now, why is that important? Because Jared is Enoch's dad. And Enoch was the one that was raptured, which I believe here is a type or picture, if you will, of the church. Enoch being raptured out. Why is that interesting? Because right before Enoch, or right before the rapture, was Jared. What is Jared? Jared was born the 65th year of his dad. The number 65 in Scripture is symbolic of apostasy or falling away. Now, why do I find that interesting? Because the Bible says that in the last days, before the rapture, there will be a great what? Falling away. There will be many people that will turn away from the true faith and they'll not believe. And even as in the last days, there will be a great falling away right before the rapture, even in this picture of the rapture in Genesis 5, we see even in Jared being born the 65th year of his father, a picture of this falling away, even in its meaning, before Enoch came, which again representing the rapture here. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul wrote this, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." Falling away and or apostasy is what that means, comes first. "And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." So the scripture teaches there'll be a falling away from the true faith, the Antichrist, then there'll be the rapture, then the Antichrist will come on the scene. Exactly what we see here, and then God's judgment poured out, exactly what we see in Genesis 5. Again, this picture here of the apostasy, Enoch being raptured away, and then in Noah, the fulfillment of God pouring out his wrath and judging the earth back in their day. So again, the point is this, even as Jared was born in the year of apostasy or falling away, and his son was then raptured, so too will the last day's church have a falling away before the end times rapture. So we know what to be watching for, and we see this in Scripture. Now, how can we be sure that we're going to be involved in the rapture when the Lord comes? And this is what's exciting, the same way Enoch did. God hasn't made it harder. He hasn't made it any more difficult. What is that? Notice it says that Enoch walked with God and was not. He had a close relationship. He gave his life to Jesus Christ and he walked with the Lord. That's what we need to do. Give our life to Jesus Christ and walk with the Lord. And when the Lord comes back for his church, we're going to go. It's interesting. One little girl coming back from Sunday school told her mom they'd learned about Enoch and about him being translated and raptured, if you will. And her mom said, well, tell me about it. She said, well, mom, she said, Enoch walked so closely with God that one day God simply says, you know what, Enoch, why don't you just come on with me? You're a lot closer to my home than yours. Guys, that is a picture of where we need to be as believers. We need to be walking so close to the Lord that we're a lot closer to his place than what the world has to offer down here. And the challenging question for us would be is, where are we walking? Are we closer to our earthly home or are we closer to our heavenly home? Now, I'm not talking about health-wise or age-wise. I'm talking about our walk with God, especially in what we see going on in the Middle East and what we see unfolding before our very eyes. Living literally in biblical days. We think, wow, we read the Bible, we study the Bible. No, the Bible predicted the things that we're seeing right now. But the point is that we're living in the midst of these biblical days right now. And how much more living in the midst of the biblical days and watching everything unfold in front of our very eyes, should we not be walking with God and being a lot closer to his place than our place? Well, he goes on here. Notice verse 25, it says, Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And after he begat Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And so all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. This is amazing. The oldest man to ever live. 969 years Methuselah. But why do I find this exciting? Because Methuselah, being the oldest man to live, his name means this: when he is dead, it shall be sent, or his death shall bring. Now, why is that interesting? Why is it so interesting? Because if you do the math biblically, you'll find out that Methuselah died the year that the flood came. Now, that's exciting when you realize what his name meant. His name means his death shall bring. Or when he is dead, it shall be sent. And I believe God was giving the people a warning. He was giving them a prophetic picture saying, look, I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm going to bring my judgment. I've been preaching through Noah for 120 years as he's built this ark, and you've mocked him and you've made fun of him. And I've got all these people here, Methuselah, that are living all these years. Even his name means that it's going to happen. God gave them a picture in every possible way, even as he gives us a picture in every possible way today. Again, giving them the prophetic warning, I think there's a beautiful picture in this for us, and that is this: him being the oldest man in the world, it shows God's long-suffering and God's patience. You see, God is long-suffering, and God is patient in waiting on us to give our life to the Lord. And that's something we need to be excited about and rejoice in. However, it teaches us another lesson, and that other lesson is this: there does come a day when God says, time's up. There does come a day when Methuselah dies. And when that day comes that Methuselah dies, spiritually speaking, and the time clock for us to make a decision runs out, the Bible says there's nothing left but judgment from God. The Bible says we will all stand one day before God, and we're either going to go to heaven or we're going to go to hell. And it depends on what we have done with Jesus Christ as to which place we're going to go. Yes, God is long-suffering, even as Methuselah, living the longest of any man ever. And you see, God is long-suffering, but there's going to come a time when the clock runs out and God says, it's payday. And you can't change it. Once that day happens, it's too late. Now it's only a certain judgment that lies ahead. And so again, we see God's goodness and God's severity in this very picture here in one verse alone. Notice verse 28, it says, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah. Now we see Noah come into the picture, and we'll get more into Noah as we look farther into what's going on with God's dealing with mankind. But he called his name Noah, saying, this one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord God has cursed. And again, it's interesting here. The word Noah does mean rest and comfort. And oftentimes they would name their children after something that was important in their life at that time. And so they knew somehow prophetically, somehow spiritually, that there was going to be a great transaction that took place with Noah. And therefore, because of that, they named him rest and comfort. Now, it is interesting, again, for another nugget here in the genealogies. When you begin to calculate the years of these men and you find out how many of them were alive at the same time. I think sometimes we think of the genealogical records as being spread out so far and the Bible being so big and all. You know, really, the Bible is not that big. And when you begin to study the Bible, you find that things begin to shrink as you look at them. And I think one of the most exciting things about this genealogy here, when you begin to calculate the ages of the men that were listed in these genealogies, you find out that Noah's dad was alive while Adam was. Now, that's amazing. Our mind doesn't think that way. We don't think, wait a minute, how did all this get passed down? How did everyone pass down to the next generation all that God did in creation and everything that happened? And how do we know that the record is accurate historically? And what evidence and what is the proof of that accuracy? When you realize that all Noah's dad had to do was visit Adam. Say, Adam, tell me about it. What happened? You were there. What was it like? Oh, let me tell you. It was something. Or probably be older now. Let me tell you. Right? He told him. Then Noah's dad simply passes it on to who? To Noah. Noah preaches to the people for 120 years and says, God is going to judge this earth, and God is giving you time to repent, but the earth has turned evil and wicked. You now need to return to God and be restored, and all who want to come on the ark are welcome. And only 8 people got on the ark. God gave his warning. How sad it is when God gives the warning and we hear it. Listen, even maybe you today, God's giving you the warning. Are you going to respond to it? Again, God is long-suffering and gracious, but there comes a time when God says, that's enough. It's now time for judgment. And it's taught all through the scriptures. Again, we see the reliability of the record here in the scriptures being passed down, even from mouth to mouth, even from Adam as far down as Noah's dad. Amazing. And it goes on. It says in verse 30, after he begat Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and begat sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, this is interesting here. Remember, everyone died up until Noah and his family, which means God had to start over with new family lines from right there. Now, the link went through Noah on back to Adam and through them back to Adam. But again, everyone before that was wiped out, as the Bible says. And so Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah and his wife and all, they survived the flood on the ark, and they came to populate the current people groups we know today. And now we can link, and we know we can link the Shem with the Jews, or what is now the Shemites, which became the Jews. Shemites, or we call them the Semites, Abraham and his descendants. We have Ham, which is the peoples of Africa. That is the his other son there, populated that region of the world. And then we have where the remaining Gentiles of the world. So Shem, Ham, and Japheth populating everyone. We are Japhethites, I guess. If you're from the African regions, you're the Hamites. And then the Shemites or the Semites are the Jewish peoples coming down that way. So again, as we look at this genealogy, we see all these great nuggets that come popping out of the genealogy. Now, we get to now probably one of the most exciting ones in the whole process, and really what I named today's teaching after, and that is the genealogical gospel. And why so, and why is it one of the most exciting? Well, God was giving a warning that he was going to bring his wrath upon the earth, even as God has warned us today in Revelation, as well as other places, he's bringing his wrath upon the earth. Now note this, his wrath is not going to come until everyone has an opportunity to get on the ark. What is the ark for us today? Jesus Christ and his blood. There's all types of symbolism when we get to the ark we'll talk about. There's only one door in the ark when you read how God designed it. Even as the Bible says, there's only one door into the kingdom, and that is through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the door. No man goes to the Father except by me, but all who will come by me, I will in no way cast out, and they will be saved. And so even as God warned in Noah's day of the coming judgment and all who would get on the ark, God is warning today, saying all that will get in with Jesus Christ and enter into this boat of salvation, if you will, you'll be saved as well. But even as the days of Noah, many people rejected and many people were eternally judged, the sad news is there's going to be many people in this day that are going to reject and are going to be eternally judged. Don't you find yourself in the wrong boat. Make sure you're in the boat. Make sure you're on the boat. But what's exciting to me, too, is even as God was laying out and passing down the genealogical names and records from Adam all the way down, as we said, to Noah's dad and then to Noah and on beyond that, what's exciting about it is God even built the gospel into the genealogies. Well, Mark, how did God build the gospel into the genealogies? First of all, I think that's just neat of the Lord to give an extra witness. He had Noah doing it, but to give an extra witness in every avenue, God gives man every opportunity, which means this, man is without excuse. And man will always be with that excuse. No one can stand before the Lord on that day and say, I didn't know. You didn't let me. The Bible says even nature screams out that God is there. It says that as the sun circles the earth, night unto night cries out speech, and the sun proclaims his glory. And there's no place that it's not seen or heard. And so the bottom line is that even by nature itself, in Romans chapter 1, it says that we have a witness and we're all going to be held accountable one day. But with that said, what's exciting as we wrap this up today in this, the nuggets of the genealogies, is I want to read you the meanings of the names, which we didn't do as we went through. Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enosh is mortal. And Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching, and Methuselah, as we said, means his death shall bring. Lamech means the despairing, and Noah, as we pointed out earlier, means rest and comfort. Now, why is this exciting? Because when you put the meanings of these names in the godly line all the way up to the days of Noah, let me read to you how these names come out when you read them back to back. Listen what it says. Man appointed mortal sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring the despairing rest and comfort. Don't skip over the genealogies. God has exciting things in every single turn and avenue in his word. And the very gospel itself, in the genealogies of the godly line leading up to Noah, talk about God coming down to the earth as a man, dying for our sins, releasing us from our despair, and giving us hope and new life. And again, the plea would be, if you've not done that, what's it going to take? A flood? What's it going to take? The Middle East blowing up to the point where suddenly millions of people are missing, and maybe those crazy Christians who kept talking about a rapture were really right? What's it going to take? A one world ruler rising up out of Europe, as the Bible says would happen, who will be ruling the earth from Europe, and everyone will begin to actually follow him and at some point begin to worship him because he'll be just demonstrating supernatural powers? Because the Bible says if you're left behind after the rapture takes place, you have to die for your faith. Oh, I'll give my life to the Lord after the rapture. If I see that really happens, if the flood really comes, I mean, I know Noah's been preaching a long time, you know, this kind of thing, but if the flood really comes, then I'll believe. I wonder how many scratch marks they could find on the side of the ark after it lifted from the ground. But you see, the door was closed. It could not be reopened, or those in the ark would now be flooded and drowned. Once the door is closed, it has to stay and remain closed. And the gospel says the same thing. God is long-suffering. God is gracious. But once the door is closed, the door is closed. And the Bible says for those who believe they're going to come to the Lord after the rapture, let me ask you this. If you can't live for him today, why would you think you can die for him then? God's giving you an invitation. The ark is wide open. But the ark today is the cross of Jesus Christ and his blood. You're the one that has to make the decision and make the choice. Let's pray. Lord, you warned us through Noah, ancient man, that you were long-suffering and gracious, even showing us through the life of Methuselah how long-suffering and gracious you are. But Lord, you also said there would be a day of reckoning and there would be a day of judgment. And Lord, now in our generation, you're warning us as well. Your word tells us that you will once again pour out your wrath on this earth. And those that are without Jesus Christ will be judged eternally. Father, for those of us that now see the signs of the times and see things unfolding before our very eyes as are spoken of in Ezekiel 38 and 39 and other places throughout Scripture, as we watch the Middle East take form and the stage being set for the culmination of your return, Lord, let us get excited. I pray we would not be in fear, but we would be excited that your word is true, that what you said is happening and will happen, and we can rest in that, and that you indeed are on the throne. Lord, we give you glory. We ask you to just fill us with anticipation and excitement. Let this be something that revives us in spirit. And Lord, helps us to be walking with you even as Enoch. Lord, redeeming the time, redeeming the hours, redeeming the minutes, and being so close to your home that when it does indeed take place, it's only one small step for us. And the world is already far behind. Lord, we love you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.